And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the word from South Highland.
As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child of my womb leaped for joy. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. When they saw the star that had stopped at the place where the child was, they were overwhelmed with joy. The theme today is joy. This is the Joy Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent. Our focus is on joy. This service of Lessons and Carols focuses on joy. I thought of calling this, you know, it's Lessons and Carols. I thought of calling it Lessons and Carols and Leaving. And joy is at the heart of it. Wise men overwhelmed with joy. Expectant mothers overflowing with joy. Both recipients of divine favor. One older, miraculously pregnant beyond her years. One younger, miraculously present beyond human agency. These two mothers, old Elizabeth and young Mary, are cousins. They meet for 3 months of intimate girl talk, sharing, rejoicing over how God's goodness and grace had miraculously come upon them, and rejoicing for what God had done through them and would do through them. Joy just overflows in their midst. Joy overwhelms them. As soon as Mary steps across the threshold into old Zechariah and Elizabeth's house down in rural Judah, south of Bethlehem, Elizabeth exclaims, "As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." John the Baptist, 6 months Jesus senior, senses what's up, and there, warm, secure in his mother's womb, unborn John leaps for joy, recognizing the presence of this one greater than he, this one who will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Elizabeth, then filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaims to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth recognizes that the Lord has entered their house within Mary's person, and she rejoices. Mary, upon receiving Elizabeth's greeting, rejoices. "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Well, here we are today, rejoicing over all that God has done and all that God is doing. Today, South Highland rejoices. Today, guests who have joined us rejoice. Oh, sure, I know some are rejoicing because Hurley is finally on the way out. Yet more broadly, we rejoice that in spite of Hurley, or even perhaps sometimes because of Hurley, God has been at work here. And for us as pastor and family, and as a congregation, this is a day of great joy. And certainly we Hurleys as a family rejoice. Got to have a little early Christmas last night for the privilege of living and serving among you over the past 22 years and 2 months as your pastor and the pastor's family. All this within 41 years of ordained pastoral ministry. Stuart and Peter were in junior high when we, juniors in high school when we moved here from Kentucky. Catherine was just starting the 7th grade. And remember I told you recently how she was the new girl in town and tried so hard, but she was not selected as a cheerleader or a Dorian. But she was persistent. And a senior year of high school at Mountain Brook, she was selected editor-in-chief of the yearbook. And remember I told you from time to time some of the antics of our boys. It used to cost me $1 anytime I mentioned the kids' names in a sermon. I don't know if they're going to claim it today or not. Some of the antics of my boys pulled over their growing up years. Among them, the very first summer here, your new pastor and his twin boys were part of the team down to Piedras Negras in Mexico to build a house, yet another house in the amazing ministry that Diane Davis oversaw for so long, that built over 800 houses across the border. Well, of course, the rules had been read out to everybody, and I'm not sure the boys knew that I had a key to their room next door, which I opened unexpectedly to find they were having a great party. They found it's pretty easy to buy Mexican beer down there. And I looked at them, all grown up, honest taxpayers, flourishing with their spouses, Hunter and Tracy, and the girlfriend Harmony, and four precious, precious children of their own, Winfield, Henry, Gray, and Kelly, and another little Hurley girl on the way. And at the center of all this brood, every bit as central as in our story as Mary and Elizabeth are in the biblical story, is my greatest joy, my precious spouse of 44 years, Gail, their mother and grandmother. A few years ago, when we got our lake house, Gail told me, "Now, I'm going to be pulling back some on my church activities." Right. Oh, it's true, she no longer leads the children's choir. She no longer paints the pictures for the F2 Contemporary Service. But she does help teach her upper room Sunday school class, participates in her wonderful Monday morning women's circle, rings in the handbell, and did today, sings in the choir, and did today, and is always blessed to be part of Abby Gatliff's Tuesday prayer group, who are a group of ladies so actively praying for our congregation, especially in this season of transition. Some pullback. I know, you had to take me to get Gail. Today we rejoice in the blessings that have come to us as a family through the rich relationships we have grown to experience through sharing life with you here. And today we rejoice as a family. This painting before me, if you've been here a while, you've seen this about every 4th of July. It's a painting that Gail did from a snapshot when we were dating our first summer in Washington, D.C., 1976. It was July 4th, 1976, the bicentennial celebration. And this is a picture that she got from a snapshot there along the Potomac. And I like it because I think it is a parable of what life in the church and one day in the greater world will be like. You see, people, children of different races joining together in a delightful celebration. And this picture before me on the other side of the pulpit. My grandmother did that back in the 1930s. She made an entire scale model of the wilderness tabernacle and a set of paintings of the high priest and the other priest in their appropriate garb. And when I was ordained, this is a picture that she had framed and presented to me, a very special. Well, today we rejoice as a family, but we also rejoice as a congregation. I reflected this past week about some of the initiatives that God brought about over these 22 years. The contemporary worship experiment of our F2:19, which is from Ephesians 2:19, you're no longer strangers, but members of the family. And surely people who find their way to this church discover that they are welcomed as family. The beginning and continuation of the STAIR tutoring program. There was the Young Adults Single Fellowship that Jeff Bonner led. There have been several generations of young adult classes led by Noel and Denny Reed and then by Jim Truesdale. And now Court Gatliff teaches that class, and it is now the largest single Sunday school class in our church. Meeting in the room previously housing our older adults class, the Builders class, of whom I have been so honored to preside over many of their Witness to the Resurrection services. I think of Advent and Lenten series that we've undertaken together, sometimes all of us studying the same materials throughout the congregation. I think of community outreaches, of Katrina response teams going down to the coast, of hospitality extended throughout the neighborhood with barbecue and bluegrass up on the hill, up on the Dewey White parking lot. and a 4th of July hospitality, offering ice cream and hot dogs on the back lot to folks who came to our lot to watch the fireworks. I think of visiting choirs and preachers who came for our inspirational series, and of the steady, dependable gathering of Presbyterian women circles, Bible studies, senior adults groups, now called Shalom, and the trips they have taken to Missouri and North Carolina and Mississippi and Georgia. I think of youth groups going to Montreat and winter retreats to Chattanooga and sometimes the beach. And for so many, many years, the intergenerational building teams traveling to Piedras Negras to build yet another house. And of music, glorious music such as we are experiencing today, music that's been such a part of the tradition of this church for many, many generations. Maybe you heard of the organ virtuoso, shall I? I call him Kenny Lewis. No, because Kenny really wouldn't behave like this. The organ virtuoso who is playing a concert on an old pump-style organ in an old church, and after each selection, the virtuoso would stand and say, "And now I will play for you, and now I will play for you, and now I will play for you." Well, there's a fellow up behind the screen pumping the bellows to make the wind blow through the pipes. And after the virtuoso said this one too many times, a voice came from behind the screen and said, "Say we or I won't pump." At South Highland, it is indeed we. This church works because of many we's. All parts of the body, committed members, gifted, committed, devoted staff, we. All working together, pulling in the same direction, living into our vision of being fully alive with the passion of Christ. I think of incredible individuals who've served and are serving on the staff here that make so much of this ministry possible. The list is long. The talent they possess, incredible. No pastor could have ever had three more outstanding, encouraging predecessors than me in Dr. Dana Waters, Dr. Frank Alexander, and Dr. Sterling Edwards. Each of them always encouraging, upbuilding, affirming. So many staff I remember over previous years who taught me so much. Memorable among them, Jane Wilson, Eleanor Garner, Dean Vandergrift, Charles Roundtree, Joyce Jennings, Jamie McLemore, Philip Copeland, Matthew Grauberger, Denny and Noel Reed, Jim Truesdale, Daniel Killalay, Susan Laney, to name just a few. And what a fantastic crew we have on the staff here at present. We are so blessed in the people who've answered God's call and have come to serve God here. Those of you, past, present, who've served and are serving on this church staff at here now or at some time, would you stand for just a moment? Thank you. Think of rich relationships that have grown throughout the larger Birmingham community and throughout the world, because you, South Highland, encouraged me to extend your witness of passion for mission throughout the world and encouraged me to visit and build relations with people and congregations and schools and refugee centers and health clinics in many countries, from India and China and Kenya and Bangladesh and Mozambique and Zimbabwe and Pakistan and Poland and Lebanon and Syria and Egypt and Israel and beyond. Because you sent me, South Highland is known today in these places and has an ongoing impact in lives that are being changed. Today, we rejoice in God's grace and goodness, or maybe just God's sense of humor in bringing us to you and then in you sending me to them. I think of incredible interfaith relationships that have grown among local congregations, particularly among congregations on the South Side. A number of pastors and a rabbi made numerous international trips to learn more the ways of others and to try to build some bridges of peace. Rabbi Jonathan Miller, my dear friend and teacher, he had a knack for finding Presbyterian grant money. I think of one trip a group of us made to three countries emerging out of the formerly communist Yugoslavia, Roman Catholic Croatia, Muslim Bosnia, and Orthodox Serbia. We met with government officials and with faith leaders from various traditions, including the chief imam of Bosnia. And out of that visit, we came back and drafted what we call the 10 principles for living in community. We would then welcome, shortly after that, this chief imam of Bosnia right here in Birmingham. He was a brilliant University of Chicago PhD. And we welcomed him to a special community dinner on Wednesday night in our fellowship hall. And then we all went across the street and packed out Temple Emmanuel for the first ever occasion for a Muslim cleric to be welcomed in a Jewish synagogue pulpit before a large interfaith audience to speak about peace and mutual respect and dignity among all people. Most every year, we have welcomed African-American congregations and pastors for fellowship. We've had a special service on the 50th anniversary of the MLK letter from a Birmingham jail. Twice we have welcomed Mayor Woodfin for extended programs here, all seeking to be part of the solution to the part of the racial healing from Birmingham's past. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. These are just a few of our community efforts we have undertaken together. I think of so many weddings and baptisms and funerals and confirmations. I think of those who entered the ministry of Word and Sacrament from this congregation over these years. Elizabeth Goodrich, Scott Jeffries, Sean Thomas Smith, David Randolph, and soon to be Daniel Killalay. You know, the search committee that came to visit us in Kentucky was so impressive. They represented you all well and included amazing people like Glenn Davis, the chair, Jeff Bonner, himself now a pastor in Gardendale. There were the wisdom people, Helen Davis, John Benton, and the chief salesman, Larry Haygood. Larry was the first to contact me. I picked up the telephone, and he said, "Dr. Hurley, this is Larry Haygood from the South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham. I do believe you are going to be our next senior pastor." I just have to convince the rest of my committee. Among that group that day, there were two young brides, Kelly Troiano, who carried within her for a visit to us in Kentucky, like Mary carried Jesus to visit Elizabeth. Inside of her was growing Lillian Troiano. And now Lillian is a college student at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And another young bride, Leslie Lloyd, came up the road even before any of her three fabulous boys were born. God has been at work among us here and has blessed this church to be a blessing. This whole enterprise is about three G's: God, grace, and gratitude, all of which we see in this beautiful interlude of Mary and Elizabeth in the little Judean town. We start with God. Mary rejoices, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The very first words of the Bible: in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Presbyterian Christians are all about God. We live by the first answer of the Westminster Catechism. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is what? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We're made to live in loving relationship with our Creator. We trust in God as the Creator of it all, heaven and earth, you and me. God who is not remote and unmoved or indifferent, but personal and passionate. The God who is with us and loves us. And as the Christmas gospel celebrates supremely, came down to be with us where we are as Emmanuel. God with us. The God who humbled himself to be born as a helpless little baby, who grew to be our Savior, the very mediator, the go-between between holy God and sinful people. As John Calvin said, now you knew I had to get one more Calvin quote in. Calvin said, "He was made man like us, but he so emptied himself that scarcely was he reputed to be of the rank of men. He was, as it were, banished from every house and fellowship. There was nothing except a stable and a manger to receive him. We start with God. We go on to grace. Life is purposeful and has meaning because God first comes to us by grace, not waiting for us to climb our way up to him, comes down all the way to a feed trough in an animal stall, in a backwater village for people who would not make a place for him. By grace, we are saved through faith. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All this enterprise is about God. It's about grace. And finally, it is about gratitude. We try to live as good people, faithful people, promise-making and promise-keeping people, aspiring to be gentle and compassionate people, kind and generous and honest people, not in order to persuade God to love us, but precisely because God is love and already loves us and claims us by grace and promises to be with us every day of our lives and beyond. And so all we can do is try to reflect his love in our lives and thank God with our whole life. All we can do is rejoice, give thanks, and sing and celebrate, make music and laughter and prayer, living under God's grace and mercy and peace. All we can do is make our lives a continual thanksgiving to God. There is in this faith of ours a deep and profound joy, laughter, and lightness of being. Profound joyfulness. As William Blake wrote, "We are put on earth a little space that we may learn to bear the beams of love. We're put here by the grace of God to love. We're put here to learn to love. You've loved us, Hurley, so magnificently, and we love you dearly. We treasure these 22 years and 2 months we've shared together. I am forever grateful to have been called as your pastor. After the end of December, our relationship will change. I will no longer be your pastor. Oh, Gail will still be a member and will still be contributing to the ministry and mission here. But we will be away from you for a while. But we will still be your friends. And we will hope to see you as friends. After all, I know where most of you live. We believe that the future for South Highland is bright. He who is mighty has done great things and will do great things for you and through you." God, grace, gratitude. That's what all this life overflowing with joy is about. The life that Jesus said he came to give. "I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." Frederick Buechner, as you know, is one of my favorite authors and pastors. He writes in his book, Telling the Truth, the gospel is tragedy, comedy, and fairy tale. This, and with this I'm done. Buechner writes, "There is the joy of it, this tale of a light breaking into the world that not even the darkness can overcome. This gospel, this meeting of darkness and light, and the final victory of light. That is the fairy tale of the gospel, with, of course, the one crucial difference from all other fairy tales, which is the claim made for it is that it is true. That it not only happened once upon a time, but has kept on happening ever since, and is happening still. To preach the gospel in its original power and mystery is to claim in whatever way the preacher finds it possible to claim it, that once upon a time is this time, now and here, is the dark wood that the light gleams at the heart of like a jewel. And the ones who are to live happily ever after are, after all who labor and are heavy laden, the poor, naked wretches, wheresoever they be. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory and dominion and power this day and even forevermore. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.